It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
Play chess while they play checkers, people. It's a good lesson for life, and it's something we will delve into here in the next little bit on Kevin McCullough Radio, where we tell you not only what is news, but you know how it affects you and why it matters.
Obliterating confusion,
amplifying truth,
and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, so coming up in the next hour, we've got to look at what President Obama said last night as the social media just blew up. Oh, my gosh, he's about to leave. I can't believe it's going to be so bad. Plus, President-elect held his press conference today, and Mr. Tillerson, that controversial Secretary of State guy, went before the Senate. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yep, it is, and glad you're with us. 888-340-3373, 1-888-340-3373. Proud to be part of the great lineup at AM 970, The Answer. We've got a lot to get to in the next hour. We're going to tell you not only what is news, but why it matters and how it affects you and what it means. We know from research that is what you want from us every single day. And so we're going to give you as much of that as possible in the next little bit. Alicia Krauss here tonight in the ladies segment. We will be glad to speak with Lady Alicia. She's got some thoughts on not only the president's speech going out last night, but also the president-elect's press conference today. By the way, I was reading the social media feed, and when you have tens of thousands of people who follow you, it's sometimes fun to do that. There were things that I was seeing, people getting very weepy over Mr. Obama's final time to be with us. I wanted to put a fork in my forehead. I mean, that's, come on, really? A little bit of a mathematical equation for you today. Who do you think gave the longest? Young man Matt, sitting in for young man Alex today. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, or let's see, who else? Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama? Who gave the shortest farewell speech of the four? Who do you think gave the shortest of the four?
I would imagine it'd have to be Bubba Clinton.
Actually, you were correct. 7 minutes
score
and change in Bubba Clinton's. Who do you think gave the longest farewell speech of their presidency?
It would have to probably be President Obama.
It was. In fact, when you did the math last night, young man Matt, there were more minutes taken up by President Obama than Reagan, Clinton, and W combined. 51 minutes and 10 seconds, the man droned on. I wasn't watching it. I just plain tell you. Well, first of all, I like my marriage too much. I didn't. If I had turned that on, I think the lovely bride was going to hit me in the head with a pan. He's out. Why are we watching this? So I waited till I got to the studio today, and you know, in between cups of coffee, really did try to stay awake during the majority of it. But what was more bothersome to me was what happened on social media while it was going on. People having this kind of like revisionist ideas of what happened during the 8 years that he was in office. And when I did finally watch the entire thing, I was able to really understand kind of the genius of President Obama. You do the exact same thing the entire time you are in office. You make speeches built off huge sentimentality. The idea that, you know, we going to make the change. Let me be clear. There will be no stopping us. Big, huge cliches. Big, wide, sweeping sentiment that people feel all warm and fuzzy about. But in reality, you don't know anything about what it means. And then when you get into the actual policy, well, that's where it all falls apart. So I posted last night, it ends as it began. Huge, sweeping speeches of sentimentality. complete and loving adoration for his family. And there were people that someone put up there. Well, let's see. He said this last night in the conference. Let me make sure I have the right cut number here. The one about it. Yeah, cut four. Go with cut four.
Malia and Sasha, under the strangest of circumstances, you have become two amazing young women. You are smart and you are beautiful, but more importantly, you are kind and you are thoughtful and you are full of passion. And you wore the burden of years in the spotlight so easily. Of all that I have done in my life, I am most proud to be your dad.
And evidently he's done a lot because he referred to himself 74 times in 51 minutes and 10 seconds. That's a little more than once a minute. For all the kvetching that Gattulo gives about my show opener, measure that against it. 74 times in 51 minutes. Referred to himself. Anyway, of all the things, so I had friends that were posting, of all the things I've done, I'm most proud to be your dad. And the sweet, the kind-hearted tears started rolling down people's faces. I get all of that, friends. It's nice to see a guy that loves his family. Loving your family is a good thing, actually. That's admirable. Doesn't make you a great president. And so as he began with Roman columns, you remember that on the floor of the Denver football field? Roman columns coming out, talking about the great historic sweeping. And he used all kinds of cliches and pictures and sentiments that he was going to see the nation rise to a new level and all the rest of that. And, yeah, he loved his family. That's good. We applaud him for that. And then he got into policies, and that wasn't worth the beans. Last night was the same thing. He comes out, lays the sentimental groundwork, talks about how he loves his family, and then lists a whole list of things that aren't even true, like we haven't had terrorism on his watch. He didn't even qualify this time with domestic acts of terror. It was just the blatant, I'm so glad we put a stop to terror. What? Boston bombing, San Bernardino, Orlando nightclub, Chattanooga recruiting station, Fort Hood, Fort Lauderdale this last weekend for that matter. I mean, come on. Enough. So as that era draws to an end, doing exactly at the end what they were doing at the beginning, so a new era has begun. And it's actually kind of cool. Now, let me tell you how cool. First of all, if you have liberal friends, you really need to watch over them for the next several days. Because if they are progressive, they are likely on some sort of suicidal watch right now. They are likely starving themselves. They are likely triggering able explosives to blow up their house if they feel like they're going to be put upon at a moment's notice. There's all kinds of panic that the left is experiencing right now. Let me give you an example. I'm at Frank Morano's famous one at one yesterday, which turned out to be actually like one at 2:15. But for me, he was down there on time. I just wasn't able to get there. But we're sitting there, and young lady Faith from the sales department's down there with us and some other folks, and we're talking, and we're having a great conversation about current events and politics and all the good things that you should do when you're keeping company, right? So Frank, being the gentleman that he does, says, I need to excuse myself for a second. I'll be right back. We didn't know, phone call or men's room visit, whatever, but he needed to walk away. He kindly excused himself, and Lady Faith turns to me, and she says, so, Kev, let me ask you about Trump. And this is why, by the way, I don't tell people what I do when I go to dinner parties. I don't like having to drive the conversation about the front page of the papers. But she says, let me ask you, what do you think of his cabinet? And I said, hands down, best cabinet of a generation, maybe my lifetime. Somebody sitting behind me on the other side of the corner of the bar at Trinity Place here in Lower Manhattan goes, bleh, bleh, bleh. Oh, I have to go to the other end of the bar now. And he got up and started to leave. I said, are you okay, sir? He goes, yes, but I can't sit and listen to that anymore. Blah, blah, it's just terrible. I have to go to the other end of the bar. I said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. No, you're not. Don't say that. You're a Trump supporter. And you know that the left prides itself on being the, you know, side of tolerance. So as he got about halfway down the bar, I was like, tolerance, baby. And he goes, bah! It's like he was possessed or something. I don't know. Anyway, we got a lot to get to. Stay with us.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Troubles on the Long Island Railroad this evening. There was a broken rail in one of the East River tunnels, so westbound service suspended between 5 and 7 p.m. at Jamaica and Woodside. They are cross-honoring on the subways, and eastbound 13 trains have been canceled for the evening rush, plus scattered 15-minute delays system-wide. As you try to get to the George Washington Bridge, it's about a 5 to 10-minute delay upstairs, 10 to 15 downstairs. Eastbound Cross Bronx at Webster Avenue, they just cleared a truck fire. But you'll sit on the bridge for a good half hour once you get through the tolls. Both levels, sort of like yesterday, but not as bad. Westbound Cross Bronx delays from the Bronx River on out. We had separate problems there. Northbound Deegan through the 130s, a separate issue. West Side Highway solid 50s on up. The east side, it's from the 20s all the way up to the Cross Bronx. Southbound delays from the 150s all the way down to the 50s. Outbound Brooklyn Bridge slammed. BQE crawling westbound from Queens Boulevard all the way down to the Belt Split. Holland about 25 out. The Lincoln about 15 out, 15 back in. Now you know how not to go. I'm Adrian Watson on AM 970, The Answer.
Hugh Hewitt has a plan for Trump's first few days in office.
I am so adamant. We have to go big, go far, and go fast. We cannot do this one law at a time. We cannot say, well, first we got to do a budget. Then we got to do reconciliation. No. Everything at once. Flood the zone.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Did you know the government has been making preparations to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Yeah, that's right. And my friends at Landmark Capital have the facts with their white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. President-elect Donald Trump and his cabinet have announced they're not repealing the full Dodd-Frank Act, but instead only modifying one section, bank reporting requirements. So this intact law still allows the government to seize your hard-earned money. Banks leveraged their money, which is what caused the 2008 downturn, and banks are now leveraged twice as much as they were prior to 2008, but this time they will want to leverage your money. Protect your hard-earned money. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver. Hold your wealth in your hands without a tax liability. Call Landmark Capital today at 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Or go online and find out more information at landmarkgold.com. That's landmarkgold.com or 844-604-2575.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I feel like at least 50% better so far. I'm not as fatigued because I do construction work, so I normally get knocked around a lot, and I'm like 60 plus years old and I'm still doing it, and I can start beating guys half my age now.
Dr. Howard has put together an all-new health challenge that will absolutely allow you to find out for yourself what Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies will do for you. The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of free product. Yes, 2 months of free Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. Call now for details. And who knows, you may be hearing your own success story on the radio. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code THEANSWER.
It is the best nutritional supplement on the market.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Phil Van Horn, CEO of Syracuse-based power company Blue Rock Energy, wants to share tips and strategies with you on how you can save money on your heating bill this winter. While most homeowners have their water heater temperature set to about 140 Fahrenheit, reduce the water heater temperature to 120 degrees. It uses less energy and does not make a notable difference. If it's too cool, you can always increase it. But try to keep the temperature below 140 degrees. Another helpful tip from Blue Rock Energy at BlueRockEnergy.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com.
I'm glad you're with us. We don't have Lonnie saying anything here, do we? I was thinking that we did, but I guess we don't. Anyway, it is Kevin McCullough Radio. We're glad you're with us. More news, what it means, why it matters. That's what we're looking at. And on the front page of tomorrow's paper for the New York Post, armed robbers go after gun store, get shot by owners. Yes, there is justice in the world. Love that headline. Let's see, what else is, what's on the Times front page tonight? Now, the Times is being blatantly dishonest. They still have a headline up today, Trump will not divest stake in business. Fox News was reporting 2 hours ago that Trump has publicly said he is divesting the stake in his business. He's giving it entirely to the Suns. There will be no holding on to it whatsoever, at least according to Fox News. So New York Times and Fox News are at odds with each other over that headline. And let's see, what does the journal say for tomorrow morning's paper? It appears, well, see, the Wall Street Journal is backing the Fox News edition, which makes sense. They're owned by the same parent company, Trump, to place business holdings in trust run by Suns. They also have a story on the front page, Booker testifying against colleague Sessions. This is a really, truly historic thing. It's never happened before. You've never had a fellow senator turn against one of their own alumni. The Senate has always been a gentleman's body, and they've always affirmed the confirmation of anyone that got nominated for almost anything out of the Senate. Cory Booker trying to make a name for himself and kind of being a show-off in the process, I guess. He got some TV time today. Earlier today, Mr. Trump held his long-awaited press conference, and I don't know, tensions got a little bit high between he and some of them. Cut six.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question? You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir, can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
This is going to be so much fun for the next 4 years to watch news organizations not know how to deal with Donald Trump. I had a discussion over lunch today about his Twitter feed and whether or not he's doing too much and so forth. I don't really have an opinion. I'm just enjoying the front row seat to the manic chaos that he is causing in nearly every corner of the print and news media. Someone who may have an opinion on this is Alicia Krauss. She's a co-host of The Morning Show in Los Angeles, AM 870 KRLA, The Answer there. And Alicia, welcome back. Good to have you. You're with us every Wednesday.
Thanks for having me on. I mean, Tillerson, Sessions, Obama's farewell, Trump's, you know, first press conference in 180 days. What is there to talk about?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about that. Is narrow down on the media just for a second. Do you like the way the media is all like, about this guy, or do you think that he's stretching it a little bit too much?
So I think that two things can be accurate. I think that the media can be left-leaning and they can be anti-Trump, but I also think that they have a right to be concerned about his behavior and his actions today. I got into a fun Twitter debate with Jon Favreau, not the actor and producer, but the former speechwriter for Barack Obama, and was like, hey, I understand your frustration with how Jim Acosta was treated. I also kind of understand Donald Trump saying, I'm unhappy with you. It's very in the Trump style. But for the media to make this whole press conference about them versus the stuff that he said about the business or the stuff that he said about wanting to be friendly with Putin or the stuff that he said about ISIS, et cetera,
right.
Or even the stuff that he said debunking the BuzzFeed report, which we all knew was a farce anyway, it really goes to show how in a bubble they are, which is just a repeat of what we saw the Golden Globes do the other night. I mean, there's a Hollywood bubble and there's a media bubble.
Right.
For sure.
Well, and let's talk about that, because in Obama's speech last night as he's on his way out, 51 minutes and 10 seconds worth.
I think it would have been less, by the way, if he hadn't have gotten so many heckles and cheers and stuff in the audience.
That you're probably right, but it was still far too long to my taste, which is why I didn't watch it until this morning.
By contrast, I think Ronald Reagan's farewell speech, which was held in the Oval, was about 15 minutes, and Bill Clinton's was 7.
Right. And Bush was—he split the distance. I think he was about 13. But let's talk about that for just a second, though, because again, when you go through the speech that Obama gave, it was a lot of revisionist kind of sentimentality in terms of like what he actually accomplished, and many of the things he said were patently not true. But you didn't see the press like killing him for that today.
No, and I mean, I was on NPR. Go figure. I think I'm their token Republican, but I was on one of their shows earlier today, and I said, "So to be fair, guys, you guys had a "as Donald Trump was talking" fact check during his press conference. Did you ever do that with President Obama? And the host and one of his co-hosts were like, "Oh, you're totally right. We understand the frustration there." So, like I said, two things can be, you know, right at the same time. The media should be justified in us being tough on them, but the media should also be justified, or, you know, we're justified to go after the media, but the media's job is justified, and they're not supposed to have a friendly hashtag nerd prom relationship with the president like they've had with Barack Obama glowingly over the last 8 years. They're supposed to have a contentious, hold him accountable type of relationship with whoever occupies the White House.
The problem that they fall into, Alicia, is that they, and I come from a journalism background, they don't have an honest understanding of even what the basic facts are. So when they're dealing with trying to debunk one side or the other, it's impossible for them to get at the truth because they have been so encased in ideologue, thought up until that point,
yeah,
that it's impossible for them to break out of that to say these facts actually occurred this way.
Well, and that always goes back to the problem of quote-unquote journalism schools that live on massively liberal and almost socialist or communist college campuses here in the United States, you know, where the indoctrination starts young, so the skewing of the information that they're going to is based in feeling versus in fact.
Yeah. Let me ask you about a change of subject a bit. Cory Booker takes to the floor today, not to the floor, in the Senate hearing, and gave a long, somewhat, I don't know, prose in my mind, monologue against the nomination of Jeff Sessions, saying that he didn't bend towards the arc of, you know, the right side of history enough. And it was such an empty attack that he couldn't even come up with actual facts to say this actually occurred, because the claims about the claims regarding Sessions have been largely disproven long ago. But it was still reinforcing this, believe me, because I'm the black senator, that he's a racist, over what the facts actually say. And it really breaks with Senate decorum and history, does it not?
It does. I mean, it's the first time in history, as you mentioned earlier in this segment, that a sitting senator has gone against another sitting senator for any type of appointment, Democrat or Republican. And it's kind of interesting that Cory Booker and liberals tend to play the minority card, but nobody seems to care when Tim Scott of South Carolina comes forward and says, "Hey, I'm supporting Sessions," or when African-American pastors from Alabama flew up to Washington, D.C. to hold a press conference yesterday and say, "There's not a racist vote in Jeff Sessions' body," or
right,
when other people that have previously worked, including William Smith, who has previously worked for Jeff Sessions, said, This is factually untrue. This person even changed their testimony 30 years ago and was called on it. I mean, it's reminiscent of HBO making a crappy movie about Anita Hill in Clarence Thomas. It's a repeat of lies that the media keeps running with. It's disgusting.
Right. Her name is Alicia Krauss. Alicia, stay with us. We got one more segment with you before you're gone. We're taking a look at the top headlines of the day. And it's also interesting that none of them pointed out that Sessions successfully prosecuted and got a guilty conviction for a former Klan member. And now, you don't hear these things. These are the things that are not told. Anyway, Kevin McCullough coming right back. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Good evening. It's 50 and cloudy. What's going on? We have the answer. Huge disruptions on the Long Island Railroad this evening because of a broken rail in the East River Tunnel. Service is suspended westbound into Jamaica and Woodside. Eastbound 13 trains have been canceled. They are cross-honoring in the subways. Multiple sources are reporting that a helicopter carrying Governor Cuomo and his aides made an emergency landing at Stewart Airport in Orange County today after the chopper
in New York or across the globe.
At 4 this afternoon.
Why it matters.
Chopper
first,
en route to
with Kevin
Manhattan.
McCullough
Governor
on AM 970.
The state address in Albany. Stewart, also the home of an Air National Guard base. Nobody was injured. Donald Trump blasted reports that Russia has compromising information about him. He gave his first press conference today. Since the election, he said he thought thought it was disgraceful that intelligence agencies leaked the information. That's not proven, and that CNN and the website BuzzFeed reported on it. The president-elect even called CNN fake news and refused to answer a question from one of that network's reporters. The White House not commenting on those reports that Russia has compromising information about the president-elect. Senator Cory Booker has urged his fellow senators to vote against the nomination of Senator Jeff Sessions to become attorney general. In front of a Senate panel, he said that Sessions' record does not show he's willing to fight for equal justice for everyone. Booker's testimony is the first time a senator has testified against a colleague in a confirmation hearing. In sports, NCAA basketball, Seton Hall at Marquette, that game right here on AM 970, The Answer at 7 o'clock. Pro hoops, the Knicks at the 76ers. Hockey, the Islanders host the Florida Panthers. On the roads, two accidents, Route 280 New Jersey, one eastbound, exit 8, a down pole. Farther east, another one at exit 11. At the Hudson River crossings, about 15 to 20 in George Washington Bridge. The Lincoln, about 20 both ways. Tonight, rain, low 44. Tomorrow, chance of rain with a high near 57. Now you know how not to go. I'm Adrian Watson on AM 970, The Answer.
Looking for a convenient cafe that also features superior takeout prepared meals and family packages for any dinner? Chow Pizza, located at 2321 U.S. Highway Route 22 West in Union, New Jersey, features their mouth-watering famous focaccia sandwiches, a variety of pizzas including Nona, arugula, and breakfast pizza with multigrain and gluten-free crust, custom fresh tossed salads, hearty homemade soups made from scratch, seafood, and many pasta dishes. Specializing in social, corporate, and pharmaceutical catering, let them cater your business meeting breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Chow Pizza often accommodates same-day orders and offers daily delivery. Chow Pizza, home of great food, catering, and much, much more. Check out the complete takeout menu. To order online, go to chowpizzaandcatering.com. That's chowpizzaandcatering.com or call 908-624-0555. That's 908-624-0555.
Mike Connors, host of Ask the Lawyer and published in New York Magazine's Top-Rated Lawyers. Whether assisting a client with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, nursing home plan, or other matter, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of their clients' rights and interests. Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, has dedicated attorneys that can help you with estate planning, elder law, and probate. They listen to their clients to learn about their families, their financial picture, and their long-term goals to create a comprehensive plan to meet your objectives. They assist with the complex tax matters that are often involved in estate planning and probate. Contact Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, with offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Midtown Manhattan, and Staten Island to schedule a free consultation with an attorney. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. And listen to Ask the Lawyer right here every Saturday evening at 6.
Tune in for an early edition of Jay Sekulow Live today at 5:50 on AM 970, The Answer.
Breaking news as it happens, what it means, why it matters. It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad you're with us. Earlier today, very contentious meeting of the upcoming Secretary of State. I do think he's going to get confirmed without any real problems. But Senator Rubio went after Mr. Tillerson in the nomination hearing. Cut 11.
Are you aware that people who oppose Vladimir Putin wind up dead all over the world, poisoned, shot in the back of the head? Do you think that was coincidental, or do you think that it is quite possible or likely, as I believe, that they were part of an effort to murder his political opponents?
I'm not willing to make conclusions on what is only publicly available or have been publicly reported.
None of this is classified, Mr. Tillerson. These people are dead. Political opponents are
your
dead.
Your question was people who were directly responsible for that. I'm not disputing these people are dead.
Very interesting and somewhat contentious back and forth between Senator Rubio and Mr. Tillerson. Alicia Krauss is my guest. She's with us every Wednesday. She's one of the brilliant women in media that we love to highlight and amplify. And she's also the co-host of The Morning Answer on our sister station, AM 870, The Answer in Los Angeles. Alicia, an interesting character Mr. Tillerson is. I don't know much about him other than what I've read since his nomination, as many people. But I didn't find Mr. Rubio particularly convincing in that exchange in today's hearing. What did you make of it? Alicia Krauss. Do we have Alicia?
Can
There you are. Hey.
Oh, sorry. I'm on my Bluetooth because, you know, hands-free in L.A. or I get a $500 ticket, but I will totally build a Kevin McCullough show for.
Jerry Crowley thanks you for that. Go ahead.
I think that Tillerson came prepared, not nearly as impressive or as prepared as Jeff Sessions has the last 2 days, but I was not impressed with that exchange at all. More specifically, before Rubio asked him about dissidents and reporters and escapees of the Russian dictator being murdered in places all around the world, he asked him about what he thinks about what the Russian military has been doing in Syria and Crimea, and how Vladimir Putin has instructed these people to target hospitals and schools that have led to the unfortunate events and really war crimes in Aleppo and other places. And the fact that Tillerson couldn't say, with all the information that the world has seen publicly, yes, those are war crimes, yes, the definition of that would be a war criminal, it was really bothersome. But it's a question that Rubio and others have had, considering this guy has done deals with Russia for so long and got a friendship, you know, the highest civilian honor that you can get from Vladimir Putin himself.
But let me ask you this. Does that mean then that he's not qualified to be Secretary of State?
In my opinion, absolutely, because I agree with Mitt Romney, and I think that if I were Barack Obama, I'd be having nightmares every night over the idiocy of saying the 80s called and they want their foreign policy back. I think next to ISIS, on a geopolitical scale, Russia is the greatest threat to the United States and our national security right now.
Yeah, I still hold that Iran is a slight tick above that. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I didn't see the entire hearing.
But Iran is working with Russia, and they're empowered by Russia, and Russia helped Obama get his crappy nuclear deal done.
They don't really need much support from Russia when they're getting $750 million from us delivered in cash every month since the summer of July 14. I mean, that's...
But they're still getting it. They're getting the arms, they're getting the support, and they're getting their buddy Assad helped out by Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I was, to be candid, more impressed with Tillerson than what I had been led to believe that he would be. And I was quite frankly surprised with his agility on the kind of international scale of problems. As a private CEO who has been working in the private sector, I didn't expect him to be as well versed with as many things as he was. And I guess I'm just not in the same camp. I don't have the problem that just because he knows Putin and just because Putin has said nice things about him doesn't mean that he can't carry out the job that we need him to, given the but that brings a bigger issue, which came up in a lunch that I had today with a client. Actually, what do you make of the fact that the Trump cabinet is largely private sector CEOs and generals? Does that say anything about the types of things we're going to be able to expect from the different departments in government?
I got to say, if Trump does what he says and has said during the campaign that he does and hands over the management to really talented people and then lets them manage their own people, that's the way the cabinet typically works. And if he's hands off and trusts them to do that, other than Tillerson, I'm completely happy with all of his picks. And well,
that's a strong statement from you.
And I think that there are some very qualified people in politics.
Alicia, we got to run. The computer's going to cut us off. Thank you for being here.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Phil Van Horn, CEO of Syracuse-based power company Blue Rock Energy, wants to share tips and strategies with you on how you can save money on your heating bill this winter. While most homeowners have their water heater temperature set to about 140 Fahrenheit, reduce the water heater temperature to 120 degrees. It uses less energy and does not make a notable difference. If it's too cool, you can always increase it. But try to keep the temperature below 140 degrees. Another helpful tip from Blue Rock Energy at BlueRockEnergy.com. All right, friends, last week I told you about the little trial that our friend Mike Lindell and MyPillow was facing with the Better Business Bureau. They basically wanted MyPillow to pay them off to give them a higher rating. They have since come on the attack against them. And everywhere that I've gone, I've told the story of Mike Lindell. It has continued to inspire people. This is a company that is wholly dedicated to helping everyone around them, and it starts with getting you the best night's sleep possible. So instead of offering you a free pillow for the price of one, and getting a second one free, he's going to continue to offer you four pillows for the price of just one. So when you call and order a premium pillow today and give your support to MyPillow for what they are doing, then he's going to give you a second premium pillow and two go-anywhere pillows, all for the price of the original pillow. Friends, don't let this great man and this great company be pushed around. Cast your vote. Get some MyPillows today. Give them as gifts or use them and improve your sleep. One thing is for sure, they are guaranteed to do so. That's 1-800-506-2641, 800-506-2641, 1-800-506-2641, or online at MyPillow.com. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Did you know the government has been making preparations to seize your retirement and bank accounts? Yeah, that's right. And my friends at Landmark Capital have the facts with their white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. President-elect Donald Trump and his cabinet have announced they're not repealing the full Dodd-Frank Act, but instead only modifying one section, bank reporting requirements. So this intact law still allows the government to seize your hard-earned money. Banks leveraged their money, which is what caused the 2008 downturn, and banks are now leveraged twice as much as they were prior to 2008, but this time they will want to leverage your money. Protect your hard-earned money. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver. Hold your wealth in your hands without a tax liability. Call Landmark Capital today at 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Or go online and find out more information at landmarkgold.com. That's landmarkgold.com or 844-604-2575.
Here's Brock Nelson, one-on-one over the cap line, right to Caruso, shoots and scores! What a laser off the stick of Brock Nelson!
Join the Islanders in a salute to law enforcement when they take on the Philadelphia Flyers on Sunday, January 22nd. Discounts are available for groups of 10 or more on Law Enforcement Appreciation Night, and an Islanders challenge coin is included with group purchases. Call 844-ILES-GP or visit islanders.nhl.com/groups to secure your tickets today.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As a business owner, you may know a lot of stress in 2017, but perhaps nothing more so than dealing with your IT network and your provider and your repair people and everything else that it takes to keep your network operational. Are you sick and tired of computer guys that are impossible to reach? They don't follow through, they can't fix things, and they nickel and dime you for every service call? Friends, I got to introduce you to my friends at TechWorks, T-E-C-H-W-E-R-X-E, TechWorks.com. When you come into contact with TechWorks, they will give you a complimentary consultation. They will walk you through the process of the strengths and weaknesses of your network. They will help you shore up those things that are bad. They have unmatched cloud performance and top cybersecurity available in the market. Not only that, they will guarantee you service calls in 60 minutes or less, and they are incentivized not to nickel and dime you, but to keep your network operational 24/7, 365. Call today and see for yourself. 973-567-6404. Get a complimentary consultation when you call. 973-567-6404. That's 973-567-6404. Or go to techworks.com. That's T-E-C-H-W-E-R-X-E.com. Techworks.com.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, where we tell you what's breaking in the news, we tell you what it means, and we tell you why it matters. Glad you're with us. We're out a little bit early tonight because Syracuse basketball, and we want to make sure that you have what you need before. Oh, hold on a second. Wait a second. Breaking news. There's a breaking news story. It's important that we tell you what's breaking. It's important we tell you what it means and why it matters. Seton Hall? Is it Seton Hall? I guess Syracuse played last night. My bad. Seton Hall basketball tonight. This is just coming across the wires now. I did not know we would get a headline this big on a day like this. Victoria Beckham, the wife of the man known only as Beckham, is admitting that she regrets her breast implants. This is breaking news. It is crossing the wires. People need to know that in Vogue magazine, the former Spice Girl is admitting she regrets having had them. She says, and I should probably say, don't mess with your boobs. All those years I denied it, stupid, sign of insecurity, just celebrate what you've got. Okay, there you have it, friends, the breaking news this hour. Victoria Beckham regretting her breast implants. Just coming across the wires. Thought you'd want to know about that. Anyway, there's been several things that have been of intrigue to me today, and not the least of which goes back to the president and his speech last night, and the reaction that I saw to it on social media. I started the hour with this. I'll kind of come back to this. If you really do think about it, when President Obama was president, and I wrote a book about him, and in that book, because he and I came to Chicago at about the same time, we left, oddly enough, at roughly the same time. I came to New York about the same time he went to Washington as a senator. And we had friends that knew each other mutually, and we kind of, there were certain circles that, you know, I kind of got to see him before he was a national figure. And I'll tell you that there were things about President Obama that I liked from the very beginning. And candidly, one of the things is that he enjoys a good party. He enjoys being with people. He enjoys cracking a joke and having a good time. So last night when he gave his farewell speech, I didn't necessarily expect it to be anything other than what it ended up being, which was a lot of sentimentality in the beginning, platitudes of, you know, great hopes and things that we should aim for and the way that the world can become different. Of course, it was shaded all through the kind of quasi-socialist viewpoint that he holds. He has a disdain for the colonialization of the world that he largely sees the West as having been responsible for, mostly the British Empire, but by extension, the United States of America following that. And you could see that in his policies, he rebuffed against that the entire time he was in office. He would seldom, if ever, say that America was good or great or better than anybody else. I don't think there was a single time in the 8 years that he ever said that we were of a unique excellence. But what's interesting is he's overtly and overly sentimental. He loved his family. That was evident. You know, he'd bring Michelle to New York, to our fine city, spend good dollars to treat her to dinner, sometimes maybe a show, something like that. But there was an obvious affection that he had for Mrs. Obama. And then the girls were seldom, if ever, away from him for any length of time. I mean, he was always close. They took those family vacations. A lot of people criticized for whatever reason. But he spent a lot of he had a genuine affection for his family. And in Black America today, to see a father in a Black household have that kind of affection for his wife and for his daughters is a powerful, powerful image. Well, even when you think of long-standing icons in Black America, people like Bill Cosby, Jesse Jackson, others that might come to mind, you're constantly going to be like, well, but you know, there was always a but. You never really sensed that with Obama. I said in my book, that was one of the things I genuinely appreciated about the guy, that he had a sense of family and a priority for them. But then you get down to the real nuts and bolts of what I think was truly the undoing of his agenda in this election. And that was that while he had sentimental aims, desiring to make the world a better place, and he was a man of good character as it related to his family, he had policies that were explicitly anti-American. And even in the speech that he gave last night, some of the things he bragged about accomplishing still to this day are not American by virtue. We don't believe that we are all better if we rise and fall as one. That is a patently un-American idea. The idea that you can come as one individual and work very hard and achieve a great number of things runs completely counter to the idea that we all rise or fall as one. The idea that an immigrant can come to this country, invest himself day and night, sweat equity into a small business, build a pretty decent living for his family, build a legacy empire for his children, that's not done anywhere else on planet Earth. And it shouldn't be the case that if that person comes and works endless hours and pours his blood and sweat into his company, that all other people should benefit from his direct labor. There are patently un-American things about Barack Obama's policies that were the problem. Now, contrast that with who we just elected. A man who, by definition, is probably the least sentimental person that's ever been elected. His disdain for people that he disagrees with, dripping with scorn from his Twitter feed. A man who's had his challenges of keeping his family together and trying to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow if he could when it came to that area of his life. He's the complete opposite of Obama in those first two categories. And he is in the third as well, because his policies are American by virtue. His focus is America by virtue. And so while many people waxed eloquent on social media last night about the emotions that they had in Obama's departure, I just pat you on the head and say, hang on there, friend, because when these policies come behind him, you'll be even more proud of the country in which you live. I'm Kevin McCullough. See you tomorrow.